Lakers lose 113-97, so that's back-to-back losses for the Lakers. Yesterday to the Thunder, obviously tonight to the Houston Rockets. Lakers trying to get back on track, and it is. I'm curious when Lakers lose games like this, especially you lose back-to-back games. I always am interested to hear from the players. I'm always interested to hear from head coach Frank Vogel, so we'll get a chance to do that. But what you're hoping for is that this isn't a trend for the Lakers. And, you know, as everybody knows that's tuned into the broadcast right now, no LeBron James, no Alex Caruso, no Westbrook for the Houston Rockets. We know where the Lakers are in the standings. They're sitting at the number one seed, and it's been incredibly exciting to watch all these NBA games because all these teams have something to play for. All these teams have something to fight for. At the same time, I don't want to make excuses for the Lakers. They're not playing that good of basketball. So, that, you know, there's no way to sugarcoat it as well. The rhythm doesn't seem to be there. The timing, the continuity that you would hope for with just three more restart games before you get into the postseason. So I also don't want to downplay the fact that the Lakers in these five games just haven't looked like the Lakers that we saw during the regular season before, obviously, the stoppage of play. 24 turnovers is a lot of turnovers. You're not going to win any games in the NBA if you commit that many turnovers. The shooting for the Lakers, we've spent time now, a few post-game shows in a row where I've talked about Lakers struggled from the field, Lakers really struggled from the three. This is a different type of stat. 2 of 19 from the three-point line and 21 of 57 for the Houston Rockets. A 61-6 difference, or 63-6 difference from the three-point line. 63-6. I don't know if I've ever heard that stat before, but that's the reality of where the Lakers are. The good news is this. The good news is over the next three games, Lakers could try to figure it out. I think we got to look at this as just kind of Lakers being in the middle. It's not as bad as it actually looks, and the Lakers also aren't playing that great of basketball. So by the time we get to the postseason, I imagine, and I hope I'm right, and I'm sure every Laker fan out there hopes I'm right, when I say that the Lakers are going to turn this back around, postseason will start, they'll be able to flip that switch, and we're going to see a good brand of Lakers basketball that we've been accustomed to primarily this season. All right, let's hear from Kyle Kuzma. Kuzma got 30 minutes tonight for the Lakers. He started with LeBron out, so he got that opportunity. We know the Rockets are going to play this small ball, so they went AD at the 5, Kuzma at the 4. 21 points for Kyle Kuzma, 2 steals, 2 block shots, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 8 of 16 from the field. Has certainly been one of the highlights for the Lakers so far in this restart. Here's Kuz on the Lakers' 113-97 loss to the Houston Rockets.
Hey, Kyle. Whole new lineup tonight, bunch of different rotations. Of course, no LeBron and Alex Caruso. What do you take away from an evening like that? Is there anything that you can do with that moving forward?
I think it was a valuable lesson for us today. I think that for us, we had a lot of guys out, and for us, we have to have a next man up mentality no matter what, and also play with that certain type of edge and energy, making the right plays, and you know, kind of you want to play more mistake-free basketball, especially when you have valuable playmakers out. Like Bron and AC, so you know that margin for error kind of goes slightly more tighter. When we don't have those type of playmakers out there, and we have to just play as a team more and try to figure it out offensively, but defensively as well.
Kyle, we know that the team has been struggling shooting basically throughout the bubble situation since the start of the seeding games, but you found a pretty good rhythm, 50% from three coming into this one. What's behind that for you personally, and how do you think that could carry forward?
I just put a lot of work in. I love the game of basketball. It's my passion, and I love being in the gym, getting at work, and you know, that's just a product of it. As you guys can see, obviously a little bit more healthier, but I've had time to really just put in work, and that's what I do. That's just my DNA. So I'm going to naturally get better because of how hard I work.
Kyle, it's Dave. Your shooting percentage, as Mike alluded to, was solid, and the team's improved overall from last night. But the three-point shooting, 2 for 19, still stands out. And how are you guys processing your team three-point shooting so far?
You know, you got to keep letting them fly. You know, you can't read the press clippings. You can't look at the negative things that are on Twitter. You have to just continue to put the work in, and that's what our guys do. And especially for guys like DG and KCP, especially KCP shooting really high this season. You know DG's going to come in and hit his shots when he needs to. It's all about just getting that rhythm, confidence, and just letting it fly without no conscious. So obviously, you know, it is a situation for us that we're not shooting the ball well, but we also know that we have proven commodities at that clip. So,
all right, if you guys want to take some on site, and then if you can send it back to me for one more.
Sure. Tanya Ganguly,
we want.
Was that by design or just happening?
You know, that's one thing that Houston wants to do. They want you they want to bait you into just shooting threes and settling. And that's how we got back into the game a little bit in the second quarter, just attacking the rim because they're very small, no rim protection. And from a defensive standpoint, it's not their focus. So, you know, they want you to shoot turnarounds. They want you to shoot threes because they're small, and you kind of just got to pound them inside, try to get them in the foul trouble a little bit. So it worked for us, but not enough.
Kyle, Frank has said that he wants to blend in Keith and Deion and JR. What do you kind of see as that gap that those guys can still make up in the remaining games? And what do you try to do as a teammate of those guys to help them do that?
I mean, well, we got guys out, so there's an opportunity there for those guys to try to come in with our team at such a late point in time in the season and try to fit in and try to add value. And, you know, that's kind of what coach is kind of doing a little bit, but he has some tough decisions, 1 through 15. So, we'll see how it goes.
All right, that's Kyle Kuzma right there talking about the Lakers. Another loss, 2-3 now so far in this restart. A couple things that kind of stand out that Kuz said. He said you got to play with a certain edge and energy. That's probably the one thing that I would say the Lakers are missing the most right now. You don't feel that. You don't feel this sense of urgency from the Lakers. And part of the reason why is there technically is not a sense of urgency. Let's hear from, we'll get a chance to hear from Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. I just want to get his opinion, his thoughts as well, especially with the Lakers struggling so much from the field. What do you think some of those solutions are? All right, you've heard me talk about attorney Brad Wallace and the Wallace firm helping businesses affected by the COVID-19 government shutdowns. The Wallace firm also represents homeowners impacted by the Woolsey fire, victims of car crashes, and families of people who have been wrongfully killed. If you have suffered a serious loss, the Wallace firm are the serious lawyers to get you the W. No win, no fee. Call my guy Brad Wallace and the Wallace firm, 844-844-WINS, or visit wallacewins.com. We'll hear from Lakers head coach Frank Vogel. Stay right here. This is the Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here is a turnover by the Lakers, and their run seems to be closing.
Yeah, Houston's grabbed the momentum back.
99-89, Harden for three.
That's it.
And just like that, it's 102-89, timeout Lakers.
That was tonight's smooth finish brought to you by Corona. The best way to celebrate sports is with a cool, refreshing Corona in hand. So grab a Corona today and enjoy your game day beach. You can't get any smoother than 39-12-8. And 9 turnovers, if I may point out, for James Harden. Almost had a quadruple-double. But Harden pretty much controlled the entire game, dictated what the Houston Rockets were going to do, got the Lakers' defense to pretty much have to adjust to him and his skill set, and not only scored on the offensive side, but also facilitated for a lot of his teammates. So he really got the Lakers on both sides of that. you know, you never want to look at these games. I think this is I think it's kind of interesting when you look at where the Lakers are right now, because it's easy to have an overreaction right now. And if you go on Twitter, you know, you can only imagine the overreaction that's starting right there. That not just Laker fans, but you're going to hear a lot of the media, what's wrong with the Lakers. Head coach Frank Vogel, who obviously we get a chance to listen to every single post-game show. I always have a genuine curiosity, especially when the Lakers lose. Okay, what did he see, or what was he expecting? Let's get a chance to listen to head coach Frank Vogel. This is coach talking about the Lakers' 16-point loss to the Rockets. Lakers now 2-3 in the restart.
Hey, Frank, with the different lineup tonight and all the different combinations that may not be ones that you see in a postseason type setting, what are the things that you take away from this matchup?
Well, we continue to learn. I mean, they're a unique team with how they play on both ends of the floor. So, you know, we did some things poorly at times. We did some things well at times. So, you know, you just you learn from the tape, and you know, you put it in the game plan for next time you play these guys, and learn to attack their switching a little bit better than we did. We had some sequences and some some examples of what not to do, and we continue to learn about our personnel. You know, we're making decisions on you know, a lot of new players that could be in the rotation, and you continue to learn about those guys.
So three games left now in the seeding games before the postseason starts. Is there a point, whether next game or in two games, where you're wanting to simulate a playoff type rotation, a playoff type atmosphere, make some of those decisions, or can you go all the way through?
We'll see. You know, we'll see game by game. You know, if it makes sense to, you know, play a potential playoff rotation. But like I said, we're still experimenting a little bit. We have some guys that dinged up. Health is going to be the top priority, and we'll see how those games play out day by day.
Hey, Frank, it's Dave. You've been on a part of all sorts of teams for decades now, and I'm sure there's been teams that you've coached or played on where there was shooting slumps. Are there things you go back to, like drills, or, you know, are there slump busters that – you guys talk about on the staff that you can do to try to, you know, reverse this mojo?
There actually is. we just haven't had practice time. So, you know, we got to continue to work through it. And again, we got a lot of guys going in and out. We're watching tape on it each day, trying to learn from the types of shots we're trying to create. You know, I thought we took less bad shots from the perimeter tonight. And, you know, that usually helps your percentages. It didn't tonight, but it did create more attacks to the basket, more free throw attempts, more points in the paint. So there's some positives there. And one thing I know is I do believe in percentages. I do believe in guys trusting the work they put in. And you know, there's always a reversion to the mean. You know, the law of averages plays out. And, you know, I'm okay with getting all these misses out of the way right now.
Hey, Frank, it's Bill. Can you explain the decision on JaVale tonight? That was not one you mentioned pregame. Was that a last-minute choice? And then should that be taken as a sign that you don't think you would be able to play both of your true centers if you had a matchup against the Rockets going forward?
Yeah, it was just a coach's decision. And, you know, I knew I wanted to see what a small lineup looked like to start with Kuz in there. You know, and that means it's you know, sometimes going to be difficult to play both centers. It doesn't mean we're necessarily going to go with that, you know, if we play these guys in the playoffs, but just something I wanted to look at. And, you know, so it's just a coach's decision.
All right, you guys can take some on site.
Great. Tanya Ganguly.
You mentioned that there are things you can do to sort of help the shooting, but there hasn't been very much practice time. I don't think there's going to be very much practice time here, just based on the schedule, it seems like. Is this just a time of year when you do have to just kind of wait for that regression to the mean and hope for the best?
We'll find practice time. You know, we'll definitely find practice time, you know, not before the next game. But, you know, these guys will be in the gym working on their shots. We'll be teaching in film sessions about the execution. We did some things better offensively tonight to create better looks and to not take, you know, bad shots. And, you know, if we commit to shot quality and continue to do our work in the gym, then the percentages will come around.
Calvin?
There was that stretch. I mean, you talked about the aggression, the points in the paint. There was a stretch in the second quarter where you guys didn't take a three at all for, I guess, 10 and a half minutes or so. Was that a coaching directive, like stop taking threes, no. Go to the paint?
No, we you know, the directive is to continue to trust. The paint the great offense is, you know, something that's been really good for us and will be really good for us. But they play small. So the paint is wide open against this team, you know. So if the ball's being swung to you on the backside and you're not open for a catch and shoot, you redrive the defense. And we did a really good job of that and got to the free throw line a ton. And I got a ton of points in the paint. So, you know, part of it is taking what the defense gives you.
And how did you think Taylen did with the minutes he got today? It was his first real minutes.
He continues to surprise and impress me. And, you know, he's making a case for being in the rotation, you know, with just the way he's performed with this whole restart. Obviously, he had great growth in our G League program this year and has really come along, played really strong, looked really comfortable against a very good team tonight, and continues to make a case.
Go ahead, Will.
All right. Andy?
Frank, you guys have now played about a handful or so games without Avery. You've talked about some of the issues in the starting lineup. Where are the areas where you feel like he's most missed?
Both ways. You know, I mean, he sets the tone for us defensively. We've still been really solid on the defensive end thus far in our five games. But he's a two-way player, you know, and what he brought to the table offensively, in particular the stretch, the final – 4 to 6 weeks, you know, really brought a lot of offensive firepower, catch and shoot game, coming off pin downs, making plays off the bounce, you know, and he's traditionally been a solid performer in the playoffs. So we definitely are going to miss him and, you know, in all those ways, both sides of the ball.
All right, Coach, last one for you.
Hey, Coach, I know that you said that you were satisfied with the shot quality tonight, but like, only taking 19 threes, is any part of you worried that some of the guys are starting to lose confidence with the shooting struggles at all?
I won't let them lose confidence. You know, we got good players. We trust our work. And, you know, there's a lot of moving parts with our team right now. You know, so, you know, guys are going to remain confident. The shot quality is going to continue to be emphasized and worked on. And, you know, the percentage is coming around. I've been doing this a long time. I've never seen them not come around, you know, so we're very confident in that, and our guys will remain confident.
Coach said he's hoping that the Lakers get all their misses in right now. I think every Laker fan is hoping the same thing as well. And if that's the strategy, not strategy, but obviously if that's the result right now, the hope is that by the time you get in the postseason, a lot of these threes that you're missing obviously start falling. And, you know, a couple of the things Coach mentioned, that health's going to be the top priority over the final three games. So there's no guarantee that in these final small handful of games before the playoffs start, that a lot of these key players are going to play for the Lakers. And then also thought it was interesting, Talen Horton-Tucker could earn some more opportunities, making a case to earn some more opportunities, just 19 years old. We'll get a chance to hear from Danny Green when we come back. Danny Green for the Lakers, and the one thing I like with Danny Green, this is a vet, it's been in the NBA for a long time. His personal performance is one thing, but I think just him talking about the team as a whole is going to be even more critical. So we'll get a chance to hear from Danny Green coming up next. Lakers lose to the Rockets 113-97. You're listening to the Los Angeles Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Points in the Paint all season long is sponsored by Vista Paint, locally owned, manufactured, and operated. And with over 1,300 Vista Paint colors, your perfect paint expression is at Vista Paint right now. And don't forget, visit VistaPaint.com for your discount color sampler. Well, that's a stat Lakers dominated in. 58-30 points in the paint. So a 28-point advantage for the Lakers. You know, some of the key stats here. That's, by the way, is a key stat. But 24 turnovers for the Lakers. You don't expect that. Not that many turnovers. You know, typically you want to have half that amount. Every time we do the pregame show, myself and MT, Michael talks about how if you can be around that 12 to 14 turnovers, right in that range, then you're in good shape. Lakers double that amount, 24. You know, I mentioned this has been something to keep in mind as well from a free throw perspective. Lakers got to the free throw line, 36 free throws. Coach talked about how they were trying not to get baited into taking threes, and they did that. They took the ball to the basket. The problem is Rockets did whatever they wanted on offense, and Lakers 2 of 19 from the three-point line. So if you're only hitting two threes and the Rockets hit 21 three-pointers, you're not going to win many of those games. The good thing is this game is it's over, and it obviously doesn't count. It will count towards the standings, but it's not going to mean anything in the Western Conference, at least from a Lakers perspective. I want to get a chance to hear from Danny Green. So anytime you have vets, a vet like Danny Green, a two-time NBA champion, getting his perspective on some of these games and these reseed games or the restart games is always a good perspective to have. Here's a small shooting guard for the Lakers, Danny Green.
Hey, right. Danny, it seems like the defense has been pretty consistently good in the seeding games, and the offense has not, whether that's the shooting or the all of the other factors. What would be your kind of macro analysis of what you've seen on that end of the floor, not just tonight, but for the previous seeding games as well?
Repeat that again. I'm sorry. The last part.
So just to make it more simple, how would you evaluate the offense in the seeding games, and how do you think that's going to come around as you guys move forward?
Oh, first and foremost, once again, like I said before we get into the interview and answering questions, I want to make sure that everybody is aware of the bigger picture where most of us are here, and we haven't forgotten the movement, all the names, all the people who have been who haven't gotten justice, Breonna Taylor, George Floyd, the list goes on. So we make sure that we keep that alive and make sure everybody knows that we're using our platforms to keep their names alive. But offensively, we haven't been great. Everybody knows that. See that, and I think that's the good takeaway. I mean, we feel that's going to be the easy part. But we have to hopefully get our legs back under us. We've had a front-loaded list of games where no breaks in between. Really, we get a chance to rest on the back end of the games. But it says a good sign that our defense has been pretty well tonight. Could have been better, but we got to get our pace back. Get our legs back under us. So that's a good thing to take away from, but we know we have a lot of work to do to get back to where we were chemistry-wise on both ends of the floor. But we're talking, we're figuring it out, we're trying to get back to having fun. Tonight we had an emphasis of trying to touch the paint and find other guys. We didn't do it as well as we wanted to. We didn't get as many, three-point attempts as we would like to. They got a bunch. But it's something, to look at and learn from.
Danny, LeBron said last night that it really the playoff experience that he has in the past, all the finals experience, just doesn't apply that much to the bubble. It's such a unique thing. You, of course, have a lot of finals experience. Other guys do. What have you found that does translate, if anything, from all your years playing to how you guys are trying to figure out this specific situation there?
And he has a point. A lot of that stuff in the past does not matter now. But our experience of just knowing the game and playing the game, but we have a different system, we have a different team, different set of guys, different set of rules here. So we have to adapt and adjust. But the only thing that is the same is that it's a basketball game. We have to put the ball in the hoop and defend, make sure we score more than they do, and try to limit them as many points as we can. But like I said, reading and knowing defenses, knowing our strong points, knowing their weaknesses, and trying to attack it. So that's the only thing that can translate. Outside of that, we got to get our legs back under us. We got to get a good feel for the rhythm of the court, the ball, everything all around, the atmosphere, or the lack thereof, and play some better basketball.
Hey, Danny, it's Dave. You guys have been through so much this year, and whatever was going on, it never really seemed to affect you on the court. Just kept piling up the wins. Would you classify this as adversity, what these first five games have been like, or like how are you guys processing it mentally? Does it feel like a struggle or a challenge, or is it like, okay, we just got to be patient?
All the above. We got to be patient. It is a challenge. We know we're going to struggle. It's early in the season for us. It's a restart, so we have to kind of figure it out and find it again. But we know we do have time, but we want to try to gear it up and get back to it day by day and get better as best we can by watching film and with each game that we have. But right now we're not in panic mode. We believe we can still, you know, figure it out and have the talent to do so. But it comes with, as I said, learning from each one of these games and practices that we have while we're here.
Sorry again, Billy.
Frank got asked a few minutes ago, you know, if he's worried about guys losing confidence in their shooting. He said, I won't let them. Is there anything that he does that to try to keep everybody's confidence?
He's been very positive and super encouraging to every one of us to continue to shoot our shots. We have a ton of shooters on our team, even the guys that you guys don't consider shooters, we consider shooters. We haven't got a chance to see the ball going for us consistently or much at all. But once we get one or two, we're due for a good game, a hot game, and hopefully get that streak. But even if we're not shooting it well, we still have the confidence because of him and our coaching staff behind us telling us to shoot it regardless and be locked and loaded. That, you know, we feel like the next one's going in because of that confidence, that positivity, and that encouragement. Bron, Deion, AD, you know, all those guys. The guys that handle the ball for us, AC, Alex Caruso, you guys look at them as playmakers and ball handlers. We look at them as guys that can do that, but also shoot the ball. They're our scorers, too. They can shoot. Every one of our guys, we feel, are locked and loaded enough to be able to be a threat in that three-point line and give us a boost. Even Rondo, even though he's not here right now.
You're 5-for-7 tonight and no three-point attempts. Were you kind of concentrating on maybe taking some twos and see the ball go in the net? And do you feel like that builds confidence for the three-point?
Not really. It wasn't an emphasis. Obviously, you want to change up, switch it up, but I usually just take what the defense gives me. Yeah. This will happen to miss a bunch of shots most of the games, but even the game against Toronto, I had a bunch of good wide-open looks. Most teams don't give me those many, you know, looks from beyond the arc or wide open. So a lot of times I close out hot. And tonight the game was just more so I had a bunch of baskets just run the floor, get into the paint or steal. One was close to a three-point. I couldn't get to that line, but just reading the game and feeling, they're not going to let me shoot three. Most teams not going to let me shoot three, so I just have to attack, find guys on the other side, or shoot my floater and figure it out from there.
All right, that's Danny Green right there. You know, there's going to be a lot of emphasis on Green. There's going to be a lot of emphasis on KCP. A lot of these role players for the Lakers, and when I'm talking about role players, I'm not talking about just starters. I'm not talking about just players coming off the bench. I'm talking about starters as well. So it was good to see Danny Green hit 5-for-7 of his shots. KCP hit 4-for-7. Trying to find some positives here, Laker fans. Trying to find some positives. Let's do this when we come back. We'll preview a little bit of the Lakers' next game. So they do got a game coming up on Saturday against the Indiana Pacers. Plus, we'll look at the NBA scoreboard, the race for number 8, who the Lakers are going to play in the first round of the playoffs, with them sitting obviously at the number 1 seed. There is an incredible race taking shape for number 8. So we'll talk a little bit about that coming up next. Stay right here. You're listening to the Los Angeles Lakers postgame show on 710 ESPN. Lakers lose to the Rockets 113-97, the final score. Now 51-17 on the season. We all know the Lakers locked up the number 1 seed. Rockets still fighting for positioning in the Western Conference. We'll take a look at those standings in just a second. There's no need to waste time at the car wash anymore. Mobile Wash brings the car wash to you in minutes with everything necessary to bring your car to a full shine. It's the only app that offers on-demand car washing services wherever you are in SoCal. Download Mobile Wash now and use promo ESPNLA to save. So there's an incredible race going on for the number 8 seed. And, you know, we still have no idea who the Lakers are going to play in the first round, which I think is making this restart incredibly exciting. You know, of course, you want to see, okay, Lakers locked up the 1. Clippers look like they're going to end up at number 2. And there's a race here between 3 and 6. Denver, Utah, Oklahoma City Thunder, and the Rockets all separated by half a game in the loss column. So, you know, you look at that and you have a curiosity of what's going to happen over these last few games. But for the Lakers, where it at one point seemed like the Memphis Grizzlies were, you know, definitely going to be a part of this 8th seed versus 9th seed, you'd have to be within 4 games. And all this, by the way, comes down to the winning percentage. So it might not be equal amount of games just based off of how many games one team played over the other. So really pay more attention to the win percentage. They'll take the 2 best winning percentages to slot out number 8 versus number 9. And the Portland Trailblazers are playing as good as basketball as anybody in this Orlando bubble. And, you know, you don't have to be. Here's a great example. The last game, Portland beat Denver today. They beat Houston 2 days ago. So Houston's 3-1 in the bubble. I think 3-1. I want to say they are. But the only loss, maybe they're 4-1, and the only loss they have is against Portland. So that just kind of shows you the caliber of play that Portland's playing right now. Phoenix, they're 4-0 in this Orlando bubble. So now you have a few different teams that are jockeying for position for that number 8, number 9 seed, so then they could have a potential chance to play the Lakers in the first round. So, you know, if you're a Laker fan out there, you're certainly watching all these games. You're checking out the results. Memphis is going in the opposite direction. They lost a key piece a couple days ago, Jaren Jackson Jr., for themselves. So now all of a sudden, the Lakers have no idea who they're going to play in that first-round matchup, and that's going to be kind of part of the intrigue here over the next week and a half or so. With all that being said, I think everybody agrees that that momentum that is really coming along is the Portland Trailblazers. So as I look at the NBA standings, Clippers won today. They beat Dallas. Denver sitting at 45-24. Jazz sitting in the fourth spot. OKC at number 5. And then the Houston Rockets at number 6. So now to talk about the game on Saturday for the Lakers. This is, you know, this is something that I've been emphasizing these last couple of days. And I know those who are watching basketball like I am on a night-in, night-out basis, you guys know this. Next game for the Lakers is the Pacers. Each one of these teams that the Lakers are playing, whether it was Utah, it was Toronto, it was Houston, Oklahoma City, everybody has something to play for. Lakers in a different position, obviously don't have the most to worry about right now. All that matters right now for the Lakers is being healthy and being ready for the postseason. And if you have a little bit of concern by that because of these you know, these last five games, I get it. I understand it. You're 2-3 in your last five games. You've played good quality teams, and you've also lost to these teams by double digits. You lost by 19 yesterday to the Thunder, and you lost by 16 today to the Houston Rockets. But the next game for the Lakers, Saturday against the Indiana Pacers, they're 42-27. They're a game out of the number 4 spot. They're also only a half a game in front of the Philadelphia 76ers. So the Pacers are not going to be approaching that game on Saturday the way the Lakers are. And this is going to be kind of the theme of what the Lakers face for these final three games. Every game matters to these teams. The last three games that the Lakers have, Pacers, the Denver Nuggets, and I think the final one is against the Sacramento Kings. You know, by that point, I don't think Sacramento will be in the mix here, but it just kind of gives you an idea that there's some quality opponents that the Lakers are taking on a night-in, night-out basis. And by them doing so, and we'll see how the Lakers play out these final games from a personal perspective, from somebody that, you know, loves Lakers basketball, watches Lakers basketball, it'd be nice that you win a couple of these, you know, these final few games before you get into the playoffs. And it'd be nice that you show that there is some rhythm there, that that poor shooting, that cold shooting that you've had for these first five reseeding games, you kind of get past that. So by the time the postseason comes around, you're not facing a team that's been vibing and playing incredibly well, and it looks like they have good rhythm and chemistry, where you're still trying to figure things out. Because if you end up playing Portland in the first round, you know, that's certainly a team that's clicking on all cylinders right now, and Lakers not exactly looking like that. 1:30 pregame show coming up this Saturday. So join us on Saturday if you can. Tip-off will be at 3 o'clock. As always, tomorrow morning we'll get things started again at 6 a.m., the morning show. You could start tuning into all our local shows. And I will have a Sleeva show tomorrow, 6:30 to 9. Thank you to everybody tuning in on social. Obviously, thank you to everybody tuning in on 710 ESPN. This has been the Los Angeles Lakers radio broadcast on 710 ESPN.